why this is so important in this particular debate with Delegate Mazur and myself, and Delegate Mazur has been critical of the lieutenant governor as well. This is the only thing that the lieutenant governor has been asked to run or manage in his tenure as lieutenant governor. I've been running government agencies for 16 years. I've been elected four times to do so, and have done balanced the budget every year and gotten things done and saw problems and fixed them. The problem here is the lieutenant governor wouldn't even apologize to the people of Maryland, the people who, you know, need diabetes tests, they need heart transplants or what have you. He said people were inconvenienced. It's
Thank
not
you.
An inconvenience if your child needs to get chemotherapy and you can't do it because
Thank
the
you,
website
Mr. Gansler.
Didn't work.
Thank you. We have a doctor shortage in this country already, and it's projected to get much worse over the next 10 years. We know that many physicians are going to a concierge model where you pay a retainer fee to get service from that doctor. How do we make sure that while we have more people getting access or are covered under the Affordable Care Act, that people have access and that we don't have this system of have and have nots when it comes to getting access to quality care? Delegate Mazur.
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that it's not just doctors who provide health care. Nurses, nurse midwives, alternative medicine practitioners. We have a lot of health care providers in our state, but you're right. As we give more people access to additional health insurance coverage, we have to make sure that those shortages across the board are addressed. And we are projected to need 120,000 more health professionals in Maryland over the next 5 years as this implementation of the Affordable Care Act continues to move forward. I've proposed that we realign our curriculum at our colleges, community colleges, and universities to better take into account what jobs are Maryland's 21st century economy creating, and so that we're aligning the curriculum to produce a skilled workforce that will match that. I also would double down on Maryland's investment in a successful federal program that's called the National Health Service Corps that encourages providers to go into low-income communities and areas where there is no access to a health care provider and to get meaningful relief on their student loans as a result of making that choice.
Attorney General Gansler, what do we do to make sure that people have access to quality care?
Well, right now we have a system of haves and have-nots. There's hundreds of thousands of people in Maryland who don't have access to health care because we were not able to get a website up and running, and that is what the most unfortunate part of it is. Look, you know, economics, if you build it, they will come. There will be more and more doctors as more and more people need health care. In fact, the enrollment has gone up year after year in the last few years at medical schools in Maryland and throughout the country. I think Delegate Mazur touched on a good point, which is Maryland has the second highest amount of student debt for students coming out of school, and they're going to be more resistant to continuing to go on to medical school if their debts continue, their student loan debts continue to rise and rise over time. So we need to address that issue by making sure that, yes, it's good to keep the cap on tuition, but more importantly, we need to make sure that every student, regardless of their economic status, can stay in school so they can go on to medical school to become medical professionals. So I think that that'll happen if in the Gansler-Ivey administration.
We want to move on to the environment now, and our first question comes to us from Facebook, from Kevin Morgan, who writes, where do you stand on the rain tax, and what, if anything, would you do to change it? Kevin Morgan, referring to the stormwater management fee. Attorney General Gansler, where do you stand on it?
Well, I've been the environmental attorney general of Maryland, and many people have said that we've done more for the environment during my tenure as attorney general than any attorney general in United States history, and that is because of we've had the biggest air pollution settlement in the country, biggest water pollution settlement in the history of Maryland, biggest asbestos settlement here. We're really going after polluters and changing the climate here in Maryland. I was able to push through legislation to get phosphorus out of dishwasher detergent, give standing to environmental groups. You know, a number of issues each year that we take up on the environmental front. We've been doing river audits for 8 years, every 3 months going around the state. We've had 24 of them to look at issues that are ubiquitous and peculiar to a particular river shed, because we need to clean the rivers, the creeks, and the tributaries. So while the rain tax is one of the 40 taxes that the Brown O'Malley administration has levied upon the citizens of Maryland, I think we need to look at our tax structure as a competitive nature with the other states around us to make sure that we're not just taxing businesses, but we're taxing everybody.
30 seconds or less, Attorney General Gansler, would you look at repealing the rain tax?
I'm not looking at repealing any of the 40 or 50 taxes that they've raised. I'm looking to make our state competitive with our neighboring states. So the problem that the rain tax has is it's levied against companies and small businesses. We've lost over 8,000 small businesses in the last 8 years, and we don't want to give them another reason to go, but we need to look at it and make sure that our tax structure makes us competitive with our neighboring states and that it's not too expensive to retire here or too expensive to die here as well. So we want to make sure that we become competitive.
Delegate Mazier, we'll give you 90 seconds to answer the question of where you stand on the rain tax and whether you would do anything to change it.
Thank you. Our Chesapeake Bay is the most precious natural resource that we have in Maryland, and we have to make it our top environmental priority to keep it clean. Just in the last week, a new report card came out that showed that the health of the bay ranks at a C. That's not a grade any of us are satisfied with. It's a slight improvement over previous years before we had a stormwater management fee in place. There are three ways that we keep the bay clean. One is by making sure we address our stormwater management. One is wastewater management. And the third is agricultural runoff. And we're starting to see slight improvements in every area except for the area we haven't addressed, which is the agricultural pollution runoff. We have to do that. In this last report, the number of streams and rivers whose pollution has increased as a result of the agricultural pollution has gone up dramatically. That means we have to not only keep our stormwater management fees in place, we have to come up with solutions and proposals related to our agricultural runoff, having more cover crops in place. I'm someone who comes from an agricultural family. My grandparents and four generations before them were farmers. My wife and I are fortunate to have a small farm on Maryland's eastern shore. And I'm also an environmentalist, someone that is endorsed by the Sierra Club to bridge the gap in this conversation between environmentalists and the agricultural community to get this done. But we also need to increase our oyster populations in the bay. One adult oyster can filter 50 gallons of water a day in the bay. They've just been overfished. If we bring in more oysters, they can help naturally clean up the bay. I want to preserve and protect more bayside land conservation as well. We all have a stake to play in keeping our bay clean, and under Mazier Coates' administration, we'll put forward the environmental practices to make it happen.
Thank you, Delegate Mazier. I know you have also been an opponent of fracking, and we are now waiting on the results of a study as this moratorium exists in Maryland on fracking. Would you be at all open to the idea of allowing fracking in Maryland, depending on the results of that study?
I was proud to lead the charge in Maryland to make sure that we didn't frack first and ask questions later like every other state in our region, to disastrous consequences. Flammable tap water, livestock falling over dead from their exposure to toxic chemicals in the wells, increased earthquake activities. I wanted to make sure that science dictates our fracking future and that we put this moratorium in place until we were able to determine what's the impact on the environment, on public health, and on our economies before we ever set a drill in the ground. It's going to be up to the next governor that makes this decision, and you want an environmentalist governor making that call. I'm proud to have led the charge on this. I am incredibly engaged in this issue and will make sure that we don't put any drill in Maryland that would sacrifice our public health, our environment, or the economies of Western Maryland.
Attorney General Gansler, are you open to the idea of allowing fracking?
Yes, but dependent on the study. If it comes back and we can show that hydraulic fracturing, which is horizontal and not just vertical, comes back and it's safe for our drinking water, that we know it's 100% safe, of course we're for it. It's here, it's local, it's free, it's cheap. We can reduce our dependency on foreign oil. We can reduce our dependency on coal. For example, I sued a company called American Electric Power with other attorneys general in the Northeast region. We had a $4.6 billion settlement because they were put their 14 coal-burning power plants that were putting soot into the air that was coming over our state. And we have some of the worst air quality in the country. 14 of the 50 worst air quality jurisdictions in the country are here in Maryland. We have the highest amount of lung disease as a result of air pollution. So we want to reduce our dependency on coal, but only if it's safe. So if a report comes back and we can get natural gas here cheap and clean and not sacrifice our drinking water, yes.
Proponents of the expanded Cove Point facility for liquefied natural gas say that it will add jobs, it will add tens of millions of dollars in tax revenue, and really raise Maryland's profile internationally as an exporter. It has the support, for example, of Democratic Congressman Steny Hoyer. Do you support the expansion at Cove Point, Attorney General?
Yeah, so FERC did a study, and we were waiting for the study to make sure that the environmental impact was going to be such that it was, which says that it's safe to build an environmentally friendly way. Cove Point is already there. This is just an expansion. They've already been importing liquefied natural gas. This is just about the ability to export liquefied natural gas. And so now that the report has come back and that it's clean and safe, I think most Marylanders are for it. We need the jobs. If they don't put it here, they're going to put it somewhere else. The people in the community are for it. I think it's important that we continue to bring our jobs here to Maryland, to employ people that are otherwise unemployed, and to help the economy. So I think it's great that we're going to be able to go forward with this multi-billion-dollar project.
Delegate Mazier, do you support the expansion at Cove Point?
Absolutely not. Maryland has 3,000 miles of coastline. It makes us more susceptible to harm from the effects of climate change than almost any other state in the nation. We have to make sure that for example, when Hurricane Sandy came through with a 5-foot tidal surge, Crisfield was wiped out practically. We see Smith and Tangier Islands slipping away every day. To build the liquefied natural gas export facility would create more carbon pollution in our state than all 7 of our coal-fired power plants combined. It would turn Maryland into an international sacrifice zone for fracked gas from all over the country. It would increase our tanker traffic, our pipelines, the liquefiers. This would be really bad for the environment. No governor from Maryland can claim to be for addressing climate change and for this Cove Point facility in the same breath. And if I could use another 30 seconds, I'd also like to address the jobs issue. If Dominion Power from Virginia were to invest the same amount of money in helping us expand our investments in alternative energy in Maryland, if they just helped us double solar and put that same investment in solar jobs in our state, it would be 7,500 new solar industry energy jobs, as opposed to less than 200 jobs related to the liquefied natural gas plant. What this is a plant that is good for oil and gas companies, and it's really bad for Maryland. We have to say no to Cove Point and yes to clean energy.
Thank you, Delegate Mazier. The time has come for our closing statements, and according to the coin toss, the first closing statement is Attorney General Gansler.
Thank you. The issue in this campaign is jobs and the need to deliver for the middle class. Over 40 new taxes in the past 8 years have driven jobs to Virginia, Pennsylvania, and beyond. We need jobs. The middle class is being squeezed. This was brought home to me here in Baltimore when I met Jerry Seary and Robert Price. They worked at Bethlehem Steel for over 40 years. Their jobs helped them support their families and build a good middle class life. At its peak, Bethlehem Steel employed over 30,000 people. 2 years ago, they laid off the last 1,900 steel workers. 2 months ago, that steel plant was demolished. It's a story that's repeated across Maryland. Jobs leaving, jobs not coming, families hurt, Maryland deserves better. My wife and I are raising 2 wonderful boys. I want for them what you want for your children, a good job that lets them build a life right here. I remember those workers from Bethlehem Steel. It is for them and their children that I will stand strong, because what Maryland needs is a change, not more taxes. What Maryland needs is jobs.
Delegate Mazier.
Thank you, Jennifer, to our studio audience and everyone at home watching tonight. When I was 9 years old, my father and his union co-workers weren't getting paid fair wages, so they went on strike. And 6 months later, they negotiated themselves a pay raise. Getting what's fair takes more than words. It takes action. The middle class is struggling in Maryland. Child care costs eating up entire paychecks, rising utility bills, skyrocketing housing costs, and increased tax burdens. It's getting harder and harder to meet the bare necessities. Yet, it's hard to find a real champion for the middle class in Annapolis. The current administration raised our taxes while giving handouts to big corporations and the wealthiest few. They slashed child care subsidies and waited for an election year to address flat wages. We deserve better. I'll cut taxes for 90% of Maryland families and seniors, and I'll turn the minimum wage into a living wage. It's time for results. I'm Heather Mazier, and I ask for your vote on June 24th so we can get back to work rebuilding our middle class. Thank you very much.
And we would also like to point out that there are three additional Democratic candidates on the ticket, and we will be extending invitations to them to appear on a future newscast on Fox 45. Thank you for joining us for this debate tonight. We hope that you gained valuable information over the past hour to help you make your decision on June 24. Thank you, Delegate Mazier. Thank you, Attorney General Gansler, for being with us tonight. As a reminder, we will be putting the debate on our website. It is foxbaltimore.com, so you can watch it again. I'm Jennifer Gilbert. For everyone here at Fox 45 News, have a great night.
Thank you.